Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, 8:12 on a Friday morning.
Yes.
Ray and Joe with you here until 9, and we are honored to welcome in the
he made
governor
it
of the great state of Connecticut, live on vacation up in Maine. It's Governor Ned
nice.
Lamont. Governor, how's things in Maine?
Hey, how doing, Job?
Hey, Ray. Good morning, everybody.
Good. How are you?
You doing fishing up there? What's going on up in Maine?
A little bit of fishing. Why not?
Are you practicing your tennis game? I just saw you're having a rematch with Beth By, Len Fasano, and Nicole Claridis Dietria on September 12th.
I know. Oh, my God.
It's a grudge match.
Fasano, he hires Betsy Graf incarnate to be his partner. But Beth and I are ready to take him on.
Well, Governor, let's get to the. Obviously, there's a lot of things to get to, and we appreciate you coming on while on vacation. Please thank the lovely Annie for us.
Yeah, thanks
for letting you join us. First off, Eversource, we had the woman from Pura on Monday. Her name escapes
Marissa.
Me now. Yes, Marissa on, and she was pretty forceful in her discussion of what she intends to do to take this to the limit. What do you want to see Pura do in their in their investigations of Eversource?
Yeah, right now it's called just rate of return regulation. They get a 9% rate of return. That's a very rich rate of return, especially in a low inflation environment, and especially if you're not performing all that well. So I hope what Marissa is talking about is performance-based rate of return. You'll get a good rate of return if you get the lights back on in less than 48 hours. You plan for that accordingly.
Right.
You don't get such a hot rate of return if you don't succeed there.
So in other words, she's going to measure what their goals are and their plan is against their performance executing that goal, that plan.
Yeah, that's the way it works in life. Not everybody gets an automatic rate of return. You got to earn it.
Okay.
When you look at the way the lack of communication was handled from Eversource, is that the biggest issue you have with the way they handled the storm?
Well, that's certainly an issue, but I think they did not err on the side of caution. They hoped that the storm would probably not hit the landmass like
right.
it did, maybe stay out in the Atlantic, maybe fewer outages. They didn't need as many people pre-positioned. That's my guesstimate of what took place, but now we got to investigate that.
How long do you think it'll take to figure this whole thing out?
Oh, I'd like to think we can do all this in a couple of months, but I'm not going to put words in Marissa's mouth.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes
which
sense.
I just did.
Yeah, exactly. it sounds like you're leaning towards phase three of the reopen in September. Where are we on that?
Well, phase three is primarily upping the percentages, occupancy in restaurants, opening up bars. And we got to see. I mean, right now the numbers are still very good. One reason they're very good is because we don't have crowded restaurants and crowded bars.
Right.
And we found out in a couple of our towns, people are sort of merging bar, restaurant, and turning that into big party venues. So we're watching that carefully.
Anything coming bad out of that yet? Do you know?
Little flare-ups in Bridgeport, for example. Little flare-ups in Danbury as of a couple of days ago. No brush fires, but you got to watch it.
Well, that's just because Bowden hasn't had power for a week.
Yeah.
So we're gonna blame Mark for doing that. Also, we know in the we reported our news. Angela reported this week that there have been a couple of people who have been fined for violating the quarantine orders, for not filling out their documents before coming back into the state, and or not following the 14-day quarantine. Governor, who enforces that? Is that the Department of Public Health? Who's in charge of making sure that people who come from the 32 states stay quarantined for 14 days?
Yeah, Joe, so when you land at Bradley Airport, there's somebody from our Department of Public Health that gives you a reminder. I hope you filled out the form. That is a requirement. And sometimes, you know, we have a 211 hotline. People give us a call and they say, Marge just got back from, West Palm Beach. And I think she's in the office here, and doesn't she have to quarantine for 2 weeks? And then we usually, say maybe it was inadvertent. I want you to fill out this form, or I want you to quarantine. And if they say, try and make me, they get a fine.
And a pretty healthy fine, I might say. Where does that money go, by the way, Governor?
That's a really good question. Not to me, I can tell you.
Well,
that.
I know that. I mean, we're not, no.
I think it goes either to the general fund or the Department of Public Health. I'm
okay.
Just not sure.
Just wondering.
Now, people have to fill that out. Do people fill that out before they come home? Because I know I have a friend who's away, and they were doing some research on it, and they were looking at the form and the stuff. But do you file that out before you get on the plane, or when you're on the plane, or when you get back to Bradley?
Well, any of the above work for me, but it is an online form. So I can't remember how you access it, but it's a Connecticut quarantine form. So it hits people if they're flying in or driving in
right.
the state.
Right. By the way, how did Rhode Island get off the list? I think that's a good thing, because we're running ads for basically Newport right now in the Cliff Walk.
Yeah. They were right on the bubble. Sometimes you think if it's that close, maybe you wait a week before you pull the trigger, but that's not what they did. And so they were on the list for 1 week, and now they're back off, which is really good news, because COVID doesn't know the difference between Connecticut and Rhode Island. So when their rate is going down, that's good for us.
Go for that.
Talking with Governor Ned Lamont with us on the morning show on WTIC News Talk 1080. Governor, I saw a story where both Foxwoods and Mohegan are reporting big losses in the third quarter. Obviously, you were not in favor of them opening as soon as they did, but they did. It seemed like they did well at first, and then things have backed off. If the losses are that substantial, what does that do as far as what they contribute to the state is concerned?
Well, their contribution to the state is directly tied to the slot revenues, so it would reduce the amount going to the state. I haven't looked at the numbers. I mean, maybe the losses related to the fact that when they were closed down for 2 months, they were only open for a few weeks in June, and maybe it's June 30 numbers we're talking about. I hope that's the case, and not that there's something more fundamental going on.
No, that's a big problem, because we rely on that revenue big time. All right.
And, they've managed pretty safely there, to their credit.
Yeah,
a couple of employee infections, I was told.
All right, Governor, let's get to the new hot topic, which is high school sports. The CIAC Board of Control on Wednesday, as you know, decided to push ahead with their fall sports plan yesterday. Deidre Gifford wrote a letter. Department of Public Health recommended that they move higher-risk sports like football and girls volleyball to the spring. What were your thoughts first when you heard what the CIAC decided on Wednesday, and then on the subsequent response by Commissioner Gifford?
Well, remember, it was Dr. Zeke Emanuel and Dr. Scott Gottlieb and Fauci. I mean, they had all sort of said, hey, look, prioritize getting kids back in the classroom before you talk about, big public, contact sports during the fall. And, I was sort of sympathetic to that. I thought maybe baseball in the fall and football in the spring. That made pretty good sense to me. But, look, the league is going to make that final call, and I just hope they don't pull the trigger. Wait a little bit. Let's see what those infection rates look like as we move through September.
And just speaking of that, since, you know, we have sports, but school is what's really related here. And, you know, I'm still, Joe, I don't know about you, but are you still, I mean, there are an awful lot of people who are really concerned about putting their kids back in school.
Well, no, there are concerns. I'll tell you what really concerns me is you have a hybrid model where your second grader is in with her cohort in second grade for 2 days a week.
Right.
And then for another 3 days a week, they're with a separate group at daycare or something. That doubles the risk of infection. That's not a safer way to do it. To me, that's a less safe way to do it. In high school, that's different. You can hybrid there. You know, child's at home, the teenager's at home, you know, 2 or 3 days a week. They can distance learn. There it makes better sense to me.
Governor, let me ask you one more question on the high school sports front.
Yeah, go.
So you will not step in and say, you know, don't do this, do this. You'll leave it up to the CIAC?
I think so, but I got to tell you, I haven't talked to Deirdre about it yet, and I think I should do that first.
All right, that's fair enough. Here with Governor Lamont on the morning show. We've seen, obviously, as you said, the rates have stayed steady. People in the state seem to be adhering to the social distancing guidelines.
Oh, yeah.
When you first put these out, how confident were you that when we got into the summer months and people were suffering from cabin fever, that we would be able to maintain the good numbers that we've shown?
I was not that confident. I mean, I knew in April and May, you know, we had just been hit so hard. I knew the anxiety about COVID, so I was very confident then that people were going to be extra cautious. But then when you had July 4th and you had, you know, outside and beaches, you start worrying that the cabin fever is going to strike. And I think Connecticut struck a pretty good balance there. And so far, so good. It's been, a couple of months now at a 1% infection rate, which is remarkable because, you know, here in Maine, there's nobody here. It's easy to social distance. But Connecticut's the fourth most dense state in the country. And we got the same very low rate. So that's impressive.
By the way, I think you also, just a couple of days, about a week ago, you're going to send about $160 million to these schools that are going to have to meet these criteria for getting back in session. That's pretty good. How are you going to distribute it? Just through the state?
Yeah, it's actually $260.
Oh, excuse me.
The $100 that we distributed via the COVID relief fund before. You know, primarily it's going to go to those schools that are, more likely to be open. So they have the disinfectant, the masks, and all they need in order to be open full-time or part-time. And then about 60 of it is going to, IT, so that those kids who do not feel safe going back into the classroom, they can learn on Zoom. But I want that Zoom to connect them right back into the classroom.
Right.
So they're still connecting with their fellow students.
Yeah. We had our primaries in state on Tuesday, because of the storm, things had to get a little bit pushed back as far as the counting of absentee ballots are concerned. But how confident are you when the general election comes around in November that if people are still ill at ease to go to the polling places, that the absentee ballot process that the Secretary of State has installed will work? And how concerned are you that if we cut funds to to the Postal Service, it's going to turn it even into more of a mess?
Seems the dumbest time possible to cut funds to the Postal Service, that's for sure. One of the things we learned in this primary is people want to vote by mail. Maybe it's pandemic-related and everybody over the age of 60 is just smart and mailing it in. Maybe it's just the way they like to do it. Look, there were a couple of speed bumps along the way. That's why you had a dress rehearsal for the primary. And we're going to get it right for the general election and make sure that, it could be hundreds of thousands of people voting by mail.
And as you know, and you well know this, Governor, is that usually the turnout for primaries is pretty light anyway. But did you get a breakdown from Denise Merrill, perhaps, of how many people chose to go to the polls? Because I went and there was nobody there, and how much was done by mail. We have any numbers on that yet?
What I've got is anecdotes, just having talked to a lot of registrars, and they said for the first time, many more people voted by mail than voted in person. Probably 10 times more voted by mail than we were used to with the last primary.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, that would seem to make sense because there wasn't, when I went in Bloomfield, there wasn't many people. You know, Ray and I were wondering, when you and Annie decided where you were going to go for vacation, did you have to make sure you went to one of the 18 states that you wouldn't have to quarantine when you came back?
Yeah, I was not thinking of going down to South Texas or South Florida, I'll tell you that.
Well, darn it.
Yeah. Governor, well, hey, good, we really appreciate you taking time.
Thanks,
while
God.
You're away to join us. Have a good vacation. Enjoy it. And we will, Ray, we'll talk to you next Friday. Thank you, Governor.
Have some lobster.
Look forward to seeing you guys.
Okay.
Thank you, Governor Ned Lamont. It was nice of you to call in.
You got to go lobstering
on his vacation. Yeah, well, you can go get lobster here, too.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.